Seat Radio Guernsey. Well, it's time to meet Britain's first climate change teacher, of which there are now 80. We'll also be speaking to the primary school head who factors the subject into all of her lessons, and we're asking you, is it really that important that it needs to be given such prominence in our educational establishments? For what it's worth, as a parent, I think it should be. Not blown out of context, obviously, but children are hot on climate change. And if you talk to, well, we have on this programme, haven't we? We've spoken to young people willy-nilly about climate change, and they are the leaders when it comes to our actually doing something, actually getting off our proverbials, pulling our fingers out and actually trying to do something about this. I don't know whether you saw Dame Judi Dench's tour through Borneo. That really pressed it home for me. So I suppose actually if teachers latch on to the passion that young people have for climate change, I think that they've already got engagement, haven't they? Please join me in welcoming Bec Wakefield, the UK's first climate change teacher. She teaches at Downhill Primary School in Rayleigh, Essex, and Fiona Cowan, who's a climate change head teacher in Derbyshire. She runs Bolsover Infant School. Ladies, welcome to the programme.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
First of all, Bec, why is climate change so important for you?
Well, I think you've probably just summed a lot of how I feel about it up in your opening. It's something that is getting increasing coverage in the papers, etc. It's something that, as you say, the young people of today are very keen to educate perhaps the older generations about themselves. I'm passionate about it because I'm concerned, even more so having done the course, about if we don't make changes, what's going to happen to our lovely Earth.
OK, but surely parents should be doing their bit as well to back up the work that you're doing in schools.
Absolutely. And we had a sports day recently, and it was a pleasure to see that our field was completely clear of litter, unlike the press that we get more locally of what the South End Sea Fund looks like after a bank holiday. So clearly messages are going both ways, from school, home, and also from home into school.
You're described as the UK's first climate change teacher, but I suspect you're not. I suspect lots of teachers have been doing this. How did this title come about?
Well, I have been talking about climate change for some time, as you suggest. It's nothing new. Some of the texts that I've used with the children are from, you know, the early 2000s. How it's come about that I have this title is that I have done the UNCC Learn accreditation for climate change, which is free CPD for all primary secondary school teachers, and I have completed 5 different courses to get that accreditation.
Now, with everything else teachers have to cope with, I suspect any teachers currently on their summer break listening to this are thinking, oh, Jen, don't suggest this for over here. Maybe some local teachers have already done it, I don't know. But what would you say to recommend that course to teachers here in Guernsey?
So I'm not, unfortunately, I'm not yet on my summer holiday. I'm looking forward to it soon. What I would say about it is CPD that you can do online. It's safe, self-paced, so you can do it when you want to. I did some of mine in the evenings, weekends. I fitted it around other commitments. It's broken down into units, so you don't have to do the whole thing at once. So it factors in that you might have other things that are going on.
Okay, and let's turn to you now, Fiona Cowan. You're a climate change head teacher in Derbyshire. You run Bolsover Infant School. Why did you decide to become a climate change head teacher?
I think we've been talking about climate change at the school for quite some time. It's something we started quite a few years ago. And we're getting to the point where our children are asking questions about what's happening, and it's on the news and it's in the local press. And it was time to do something as part of our curriculum. And then obviously we were asked about joining the UNCC course, and that's what we made a decision to do.
And how's it going down with both students and parents?
Well, as a school, we're very parent-friendly, and we do a lot of work with parents. And so over the last few months, we've been trying to encourage our children to educate our parents. We add it on information onto our newsletters. We've now started a school blog. And the future is that the children will support the families in learning about what they can do to make a difference.
Well, I know my soon-to-be 13-year-old is very hot on the topic. If I don't recycle certain things, he'll say, "Oh, what are you doing with that?" Or, "You can't do that." Although he does leave lights on, which we try and... I don't know, with mixed messages coming through. But I think I summed it up at the beginning. It's not actually about us needing to teach the children. It's about us needing to teach the children to teach us, isn't it?
I think there's two things to that. I think in the introduction you said about it being a willy-nilly approach, and actually it can't be that for our children. It needs to be a planned approach where children can build up their knowledge around what's happening to the world and what they can do. And there needs to be a planned approach, which is firstly about raising their knowledge about climate change and what's happening, and then a planned approach for them to start looking at what they can do. I think we leave climate change in our country too late, really. You know, there's a lot of secondary school children and secondary school teachers that are already teaching about this. But for us, we're in an infant and nursery school, and it is a concept that our 3- and 4-year-olds can start to understand. And it is written into the curriculum. It is part of what we're already able to teach around change and how the world's changing. And it's all there for us to be able to do. So what we've tried to do is to make sure we've got a planned approach that we can develop children's knowledge age appropriately to understand the concept and what they can do about it.
Well, I'd like to hear from you, dear listener, if your child has come home with a particularly brilliant climate change project or something you thought, wow, that's really made me change my view. So if you've got any examples of that, I need to hear from you, please. What is it that your child's done that's made you rethink your attitude towards climate change completely? 0808 100 99 32. I've interviewed Beck and Fiona, some wonderful young people in the studio, and they are all so hot on climate change. I wonder what buy-in you've had from your local politicians.
For me, so at Downhill, we had our local MP come in in the spring term, so at the beginning of the year, and we talked to him about the 100,000 postcard challenge that we'd done in the autumn. We also shared with him our recycling station that our eco councillors had set up, and the children in our key stage 2, so our 8 to 11-year-olds, questioned him on his voting about climate change and asked him to justify why he had voted in particular ways. So he has gone away very impressed with the recycling station that we have developed at school, and was going to share it with his colleagues.
Guernsey has not declared a climate change emergency, unlike its counterpart across the water, Jersey. Although when I questioned the people responsible, they said it's mere semantics because they didn't want to scaremonger by saying it was a climate change emergency, but they're still taking it very seriously. How does that make you feel hearing that?
I think it is something we do need to take seriously. I was very struck by one of our oldest children, one of our 11-year-olds, who actually turned to me and said, "Miss Wakefield, this is our problem and we need to help solve it." They're very up to date with all the strikes that have been happening, and they do want something to happen about it. They are very, very keen to express their views.
Fiona, what about buy-in from politicians in Derbyshire? What sort of support are you getting from that area?
Limited.
Really?
To be honest, yeah, it has been quite limited. I mean, we're literally just starting the journey in terms of a public response. A lot of what we've been doing is the background, in terms of making sure that we're putting it in our curriculum, that it makes sense to children. So we don't want to be spending all of our time just teaching climate change, but it was about, for us, making sure that climate change was part of the curriculum we're delivering. And so we've really spent the last year and a half making sure that we're writing climate change objectives within our literacy objectives and our geography and our science. And we're just starting on trying to change public opinion. And so we really made the decision to start with the children and the parents. And I think our focus in the next 6 months will be looking at what we can do on a wider scale.
So disappointing that you didn't get much buy-in from the politicians.
Yeah, I think it's something that we're really going to have to look at in Derbyshire, and particularly as a school, you know, getting in touch with our local councils, etc., and moving beyond this.
Tell me about the postcard challenge, Beck, in a bid to give... And Fiona, think about another brilliant project you've had in your school, just to inspire Guernsey teachers and parents.
So it was a 100,000 postcard challenge to set a world record, Guinness World Record. I do believe Fiona's school took part in it as well. And the postcards were all laid out by the Swiss Development Agency on the glacier in Switzerland to highlight climate change for the children, to give all the children a voice to express their feelings. Our children were very articulate in what they wrote on the postcards and their views of it. And subsequently, they've seen a clip of all the postcards being laid out, which has brought it home to them that they've been part of that Guinness World Record.
Well, that's a fantastic way of engaging. Fiona, what about you? Any projects you can share with teachers and parents?
Yeah, so we took part in the same project with Beck. But we also encouraged our children, being very young and with limited literacy skills, because obviously some of my children are only three, but it was about the conversation of what they can do and what they can pledge to do. So we talked about, with the children, you know, you've just said yourself about turning off the electricity and using less water and walking to school, scooting. We've encouraged our children to use scooters to come to school rather than drive. And so firstly, our children all made a pledge this year. We started a school blog around climate change, and then this year we had an actual week about Michael Recycle, which is a literacy book, and the children all came as climate superheroes and talked about what they can do. Our concept at school is around one world and no second chances, and that actually for our children it's about what they can do to make a difference, and that if every child makes a difference, the collective will have some buying power.
It sounds fantastic, and when you think that the children are already engaged, you can build maths around this, geography, history, every single lesson can be built around climate change. Not that you'd want that as your overarching theme all the time, but I mean, you're onto an absolute winner as far as a teacher's concerned, aren't you?
Well, Ofsted has just recently reviewed their criteria for September, and what they're looking for is schools to be very clear about their curriculum intent. And I guess this is where the buy-in for the teachers is, in terms of they become climate literate and they can cover the UN CC climate change course, and that allows you to be competent about what you're talking about. But for us as a school, it's allowed us to get that real buy-in and make a difference for our children.
And where's this come from within children and their conscience? Has it come from them talking to each other and being adept at social media? Has it come from the schools? Has it come from the parents, or a little bit of all three?
I think children are really curious. And we've kind of used some of their own curiosities. You know, children nowadays are quite used to searching for things on YouTube, even the very young children. They can look for things on YouTube and watch videos. And we've used videos and we've used sort of representation. So we've talked about the world and had the globe out and wrapped it up in a coat so it's nice and warm, and the fact that then that's causing a problem. And for children to be able to understand that concept, they then want to do something about it, just naturally curious.
It's just wonderful to hear, and I'm thinking, well, when it comes to our children, do you think that they're generalising, or are they very specific? Can you tell us some of the more moving comments you've heard from children about their fear of the world coming to a sticky end?
I think we've been really careful with that, to be fair, because I think children's emotional and mental health is really important to make sure that we are encouraging children to understand that their choices can make a difference. So rather than scaremongering with children, it's about them understanding that it's not too late, that they can still make a change. We've not exceeded the thresholds for global warming, and every person can make a difference. And, you know, the out there at the moment, there's lots of things on the TV and there are lots of campaigns going on, and it's about children really understanding that they can make a difference and that their parents can. So rather than scaremongering that, you know, things that are drastic, it's actually about you can make a choice and you can make a decision and you can make a difference.
Well, I'm sure Guernsey Schools, well, I know they're doing their bit, but I'm not sure they know about this CPD, Continual Professional Development. Where can they find out more?
On the UN CC Learn website. If they go through Educate, if they go on Facebook and put in UN CC Learn or Educate, either of those things will direct them to a website which offers this free CPD.
Actually, parents could do it as well, couldn't they?
Absolutely. The courses are really easy to follow, and they end with a little quiz. You know, Beck and I have been lucky that we were one of the first 80, and that means that we can go on to phase two of the project. And phase two is about trying to get a climate change lead in every school, but also about starting a Yaaki platform, which allows us to upload and share our knowledge and our lessons and our activity with all of the schools. And not just in the UK, but there are schools signed up to this in America and across Europe. And this is really going to be a big thing.
Well, maybe you could think about partnering with some schools in Little Old Guernsey, because we'd love that. But to you both, thank you so much for talking to us. I know the state schools in Guernsey haven't broken up yet. There's a few teachers reaching for the wine bottle of an evening, I reckon, because they're thinking, when's the holiday going to start? And boy, do you need your holidays. We wish you a very, very happy summer 2019. Keep up the good work. Beck Wakefield and Fiona Cowan, it's been an honour. Thank you.
Thank you.